This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Plant in the Ukraine raised some big concerns of a nuclear accident. Yikes. A lot of conversation about that. And also, what is happening now, the latest on the Russian invasion into the Ukraine. Some new satellite images showing what's going on in the war zones. And also gas here at home, up, 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 plus COVID. It is, in some people's minds, in the background, on the back burner. Are we, in fact, now in an endemic? Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us. Let's start first with this Russia attack kind of sparking a lot of fear over maybe a Fukushima-style meltdown at the Ukrainian power plant. So you can only imagine what that was like during the day and the conversation internationally and, of course, more importantly, there in the Ukraine. What the president of the Ukraine said, Zelensky, he gave an emotional plea to his nation and all of Europe in an overnight video address. He said, if there's an explosion, that's the end for everyone. The end of Europe. The evacuation of Europe. Only urgent action by Europe can stop the Russian troops. Do not allow the death, this is him, of Europe from a catastrophic event at a nuclear power station happen. So U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm tweeted that the plant's reactors were protected by containment structures and were being safely shut down. But the description from the scene, the images that were initially coming out, left a lot of people kind of shell-shocked in watching what was happening because there was a fire in one of the six reactors. The reactor that's under renovation in this plant in the Ukraine, not operating, but there is nuclear fuel inside. So the president is right. If there was the potential for a disaster, it would affect everybody in Europe, too, as well. But experts say, yes, it was extremely dangerous, but unlikely to produce anything that would blow away part of Europe, and comparisons to the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, which happened 300 miles away from this nuclear power plant, were understandable, but they do not equate, thank goodness. I mean, immediately there was this jump to quantify, clarify, and have the experts look at what was really happening to quell the fears, which understandably were out there, because when you hear that, I said this the other day, when we hear anything with nukes, attached to nukes, they have nukes, Vladimir Putin is talking about nukes. I mean, this is all the kinds of headlines and warnings that were being screamed out in the last couple of days. And then you have this power plant and this fire, you know, at a nuclear power plant. So in seeing that video and seeing that fire and all that late night activity at this plant, immediately it did have people, have the hairs on their necks stand up. I mean, that's the best way to describe it because of what that could mean when you initially see it. And you can imagine Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, who's really in the trenches with others fighting this thing, getting word that that had happened, because immediately he has to be thinking, what is Putin doing? What's happening at this point? Because radiation would be rising, and then there would be fear that it would just blow. And then he's right. If it blows, that's it. No matter what else is happening, that's it for everybody there, certainly within range. Within range, that's what would happen. All right, other things that are going on inside, for example, Kyiv, there's shrines, there's memorials. There are still refugees now topping a million that are crossing at the borders, Poland being the biggest one still. But Kyiv, which is the capital of the Ukraine, they're bracing for that catastrophic Russian final attack. I mean, that would be the heart of the Ukraine, so the Ukrainians are defending that as much as possible. And some of the most sacred Orthodox shrines, historical areas that are 1,000 years to the beginning, to the dawn of Christianity in that area, are in danger. The landmark shrines that are significant to Ukrainian Orthodox people and Russian Orthodox people, which, by the way, is what's so tough for the soldiers, because so many of them don't want to bomb these places because of their Russian roots. So it makes sorting out the information extremely tricky, right? Earlier in the week, there were some monuments that were damaged. A main Holocaust memorial was damaged. And there is no indication that that was intentionally hit. But when you've got targets where it's just basically the city, of course, any buildings can crumble. And there are some of these major shrines that are in kind of elevated locations that leave them vulnerable. But I think human life is, number one, the most important thing, and people getting out of these places where it's getting stickier, and that's happened. So in that sense, where you've had over 1 million flee, there's the good news, if there is any good news in any of this, and that's what the world's watching. It's the human side of this. That's why the reaction has been so swift, where you have the major oil companies pulling out of deals with Russia, even to their detriment, where they're losing millions. They're pulling out, period, because they want to do what they can to help. Then you've got Russia's richest, who are probably losing their yachts as the U.S. and other allies are seizing every asset that they can of these Russian oligarchs. It's not just conversation. It is happening. So when Russian forces are ramping up their deadly military campaign in the Ukraine, while that's going on, the yachts are the key targets of the U.S. And again, many in Europe who are going to seize the property owned by what they call Putin's enablers. And that is what's happening. So you have to give applause to the people who are out there fighting the good fight. And if it means getting these yachts, and seriously, I looked at a map, they're showing the yachts, and you've got them in all over Italy, you've got them outside of Cuba, you have them in Greece, you've got a bunch of them parked outside of France. I mean, this really is a thing. The billionaires' yachts on the move in the days since the Russian offensive started. And that squeeze puts the squeeze on Putin. Yeah. So go after them. I mean, you know, I think that's what will happen, because it's easy to trace where they are, and that's what we're going to see. I mean, that's what we're going to see happen. Even if they're trying to deny people entry, it's kind of a cat and mouse game, but they'll do it. There's no doubt. And there is a list that's pretty long. And so as they get furious, and they're the backers of Putin initially, that gets trickier for him. And I think anything to attack his power and wane his power with and through what's going on with the Russian people is what could make him stop, unless they stop him somehow. All right, we've just begun to scratch the surface. Much more coming up around the bend.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Iberoa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money in a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Watch what the Justice Department is doing in going after Putin's cronies and all the Russian oligarchs that they can possibly get their hands on, which is seizing yachts and property and all of that, and feeling that squeeze, which I think is essential in doing whatever the world can do to attack what I would call Putin's base, I suppose, because of the Russian reach and how they're all being affected by the big squeeze, by the big, I call it the big shutout. And that's happening in many, many other ways, too, as well. And as I mentioned, the power plant fire and the possible explosion and the frightening idea of anything touching any nuclear fuel is what really, I think, grabbed the headlines, if you will, in the conversation, the water cooler conversation around the Ukraine, because get people out, get people out. And then there's over a million plus that are still fleeing. And that is, again, the good news in all of this. Plus, so much aid keeps pouring in, because when you leave your houses, we've been describing this for over a week now. Think about this. Close your eyes for a second. You suddenly have to leave your house. Are you ready to go? What do you have packed? And you got to get out. You're scrambling. We're talking about bullets, bombs, whatever. You can't take any time. You got to grab the kids and go. And you got to get down to his train station. And you know it's going to be jammed. And it's your way out. And that's that. So there is no scrambling around, grabbing things. Oh, what could possibly be light to carry? No, you've got got children or you have other people, elderly people, people you're caring for, and that absolutely is what it is. It was just a mass exodus, the herd of people. So they need so much on the other side, but they're getting it from all these donations that are pouring into the UN and many, many other relief organizations. So hats off to everybody for scrambling around and digging whatever they can dig out of their pockets and donating it to that cause, because it's going right directly there. When somebody gets off the train and they get off the bus and they're crossing in Poland or they're crossing somewhere else, they have people to calm the chaos and to hand them food and blankets and some clothes, because that's exactly what they need. Meanwhile, close to home, what is the buzz? And I think so much of it, I say this all the time, it's about what's happening on the COVID side of things, the push-pull over masks, the idea that is there another COVID shot? Because there's a couple of vaccines, there's the booster, and is there a fourth COVID shot? In Israel, they have a fourth one. So about 87 million eligible Americans haven't gotten a booster shot, but now there's some messaging around this potential fourth shot. Remember in the spring of 2021, maybe you didn't take it, maybe you did, but every adult became eligible for the vaccine. So over 2 million people a day were getting their first dose. But in the last couple of months, most of those willing to get their shots are now, they're vaccinated, right? So the vaccine rates have gone way down. The number of people who are getting their first COVID vaccine shot is super low, fewer than 80,000 Americans each day, right? Since December, the rate of people getting boosted has fallen significantly too, dropping from 1 million booster shots a day to less than 140,000. So then there is the conversation about, okay, where are we now? Is this an endemic? Is this different? Are we done with this? Is it a charade to think that we're going to have another spike or something's going to happen, or what does that mean? The potential is there could be a requirement for an additional boost or a fourth shot or a third shot, like for J&J. They're being carefully monitoring that in real time to look at those recommendations. So there is a concern. What would additional doses do? And then since the fall, anybody whose immune system is compromised, they've had the option to get another dose. But for the most of the public, the benefit of additional dose isn't really clear. So it's strange, right? It's like you're either on the train and you're going down the train tracks and you feel like, okay, now I'm on the super liner. I feel good because I don't care if somebody gets the vaccine or not. But for me, I think it was the right thing to do. So I followed what was advised. I got the first one and did the next one and I got the boosted one. And now, do I need another one? I mean, is there, how many more do I do? Is this like the flu shot? And I have to decide if I have to get a flu shot every year or not, right? That's where we're at. And certainly the vaccination rates are low, so there has to be plenty of additional doses, you would think. And we're not hearing of overflowing ICUs anymore. There are some places where they're wrestling with it, perhaps a little bit more than some other cities. But it's not the topic. The topic is more about moving forward. What do we do? Inflation. Oh, my gosh, look at gas. What about the supply chain? It's crushing us in so many areas. Things that we take for granted that were normally there, now they're not there. And if you can get them, they cost twice as much. Every show I highlight something that is so surprising. I just had no idea, didn't think about the supply chain. Now, when I look around and I see that things aren't available, what's the first thing I think of? Oh, it's the supply chain. You ask a few questions, you find out, yeah, in fact, it is. So if anything, that's dominating our thoughts, along with the madman in Russia and what is ultimately going to happen. is there going to be cyber hacks? Is this going to be tit for tat? And then once all of that wraps up, I mean, who would have thought? You know, we live in a different era now, cyber attacks and all of that, and different kinds of warfare. But to actually see a country go into another country, just boom, I want this back. We haven't seen that. So there is kind of a shock and awe happening there. But the focus in the U.S. still is on moving forward. How are we moving forward? So vaccination-wise, I just said it. I gave a bunch of stats. Just bottom line, this is easy. 65% are vaccinated. Doses are 20% down. Hospitalizations are way down. They're 21% down. These are numbers from Johns Hopkins down. Deaths are down, way down, with the weekly changes almost 12%. So are we safe? What's happened? What do we do? What are we doing moving forward? And it's so different if you had COVID or you know somebody who had COVID. I know people that had COVID twice. They were seemingly healthy, and they got it twice and said that they feel like they are more exhausted. They have some lingering effects. And that's also a thing. The long COVID haulers, people who really spent a lot of time in the hospital and barely made it out, but they did. How are they bouncing back? How are they bouncing back? And look, now there's the pills that are being developed. So if you should get COVID with all the tests and all the availability, I would think your shot of coming out on the other side is a lot better than at the start of it, which is why the deaths are down, the hospitalizations are down, and everything in between. People whose immune systems are compromised, a very different story, might be trickier as to who they're around or what's happened with them. Have they gotten it? But you got cities ditching vaccine mandates. People are dining out. People are going and doing things they weren't doing before. So I think the overall feeling is we're ready to just embrace life again, right? We're ready to just move on and go and party like we haven't in a long time in many cases, right? Because we saw the fact that we thought we were out of this in the beginning of the year, and then there was the rise of Omicron. But luckily, it seems as though with the dropping of the requirements and the wave of Omicron receding, thank goodness, forever, ever stay away. Mandates in place now, is that really going to do anything to persuade people who are unvaccinated to be immunized? I would have to say, I don't think so. I think the number that you have is about the number that it's going to stay. I don't think that changes. Because even we're looking at going to gyms. Before, that was another place where, okay, there's mandates there. But Boston, Chicago, Minneapolis, Seattle, they're all dropping all of that. Restaurants were losing businesses. Right? But they're not now because of those mandates dropping. Gyms were losing memberships. They're not now. Theaters, nobody was going back to them. Now they're seeing a resurgence. Thank goodness. Are we on the other side? What do you think? Send me your thoughts. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. We're headed to the mailbag coming up this hour.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden says sweeping economic sanctions on Russia are having a profound impact.
The goal was to maximize the impact on Putin and Russia and minimize the harm on us and our allies and friends around the world.
The president, without proof, saying the sanctions are unprecedented. The president also holding a cabinet meeting on Thursday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is expressing her doubts on a gas tax holiday for Americans.
And that sounds good, but do you know that there is no guarantee that the oil companies pass that reduction on to the consumer?
Pelosi providing no solutions for the high gas prices and also noted that she opposes opening more federal lands to drilling. The California Democrat is a fan of banning Russian oil imports. USA Radio News. A man is being charged with committing hate crimes in New York City. From the USA Radio News Washington, D.C. Bureau, John Hunt has the details.
A 28-year-old homeless man has been charged in hate crimes after a string of unprovoked attacks on women of Asian descent in New York City. Stephen Jonkic was arrested in connection with assaults on seven women in different Manhattan neighborhoods over a two-hour period. The victims were all women of Asian descent, ranging in age from 19 to 57.
Brett Hankison, the former Kentucky officer charged in connection with the botched raid involving Breonna Taylor, has been found not guilty. Hankison was charged with endangering neighbors by firing shots. He testified he fired 10 times because he thought two other cops were being executed. The House passed a bipartisan bill aimed at helping veterans who have been exposed to toxins often found in so-called burn pits. The measure now heads to the Senate. USA Radio News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Tell you what's on tap. I just was talking about masking, unmasking. Where are we with the COVID pandemic life that we've been living? Detroit's Big Three. This is a big deal. The automakers are letting workers unmask. They announced that on Thursday that they're going to allow them to stop wearing masks at workplaces where U.S. health officials have said, hey, it's safe to do so. So that means a lot of these plants, depending on where they are, a plant that GM has in Nevada, they're doing that. Even the United Auto Workers Union said that they would adopt the new Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidance, allowing workers at these facilities to not wear masks regardless of COVID-19 vaccine status. So let me say that again, regardless of COVID-19 vaccine status. So no, did you have a shot? Where's your card? Any of that. If the place is not in a high risk county, that's what's happening. Because the CDC announced on Thursday that 93% of Americans live in counties that are not high risk, going back to some of the stats of where we're at, right? And many of the plants are in areas where it's safe to take the mask off. Other states home to plants like Ohio and Illinois are also being considered safe to drop the mask. So, unlike some major manufacturers, because this is not happening across the board, they are saying that, you know, look, we never mandated vaccines for thousands of unionized U.S. workers. We didn't do that. Last fall, Ford required its U.S. salaried non-union workers to be vaccinated to get to seek exemptions, right? So now what's happening is this, they're going by what the CDC is saying and saying, well, there you go. Mask mandates, of course, have been opposed by plenty of people who see them as government overreach, right? Various government officials. We know that. This is that tug of war that we talk about. So that has got to be, that being on tap, has got to be interesting for auto workers, because there really has been a lot of dissension about that in some of these plants. And now it doesn't matter. Don't ask if I've had it. Doesn't matter, because it, my vaccine status is not coming into play. So it's not come to work if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. It's not that. It's not the signs that you see on the door. You must wear a mask if you haven't been vaccinated. No, none of that. And that's a very, very big change. And will there be other companies that follow suit and do that and actually make an announcement on that? All right, this is very big in the state of Alabama. I know we have a lot of people listening to us there. Alabama, what's on tap for them? They could soon become the latest state to allow people to carry concealed handguns in public without first getting a permit. Here's what happened on Thursday. The Alabama Senate voted 23-6 for the House-passed bill that would abolish the current permit requirement, because the legislation now will go to the House of Representatives, where members will decide whether to accept Senate changes to the bill. It's been championed by a lot of gun rights advocates who call it constitutional carry and argue that people should not have to get a permit, which requires a background check and a fee, to carry a concealed handgun. Opponents, including state sheriffs and some others in law enforcement, say the permits help combat crime and enhance public safety. Republican Senator Gerald Allen said, it wasn't meant for us to pay a fee to be able to arm ourselves to protect our families and our property. It's a right. So he's referring to the Second Amendment. And proponents of the bill say, look, there are 21 states that allow concealed weapons in public without a permit. They already allow that, right? So that's big. But the Alabama Sheriff's Association opposed it, saying, you know, abolishing those permits is going to be detrimental to public safety. They had a lot of public hearings, and a lot showed up and testified, if you will, jumped in front of a mic and said the permits are tools that officers use daily to remove weapons from the hands of people who should not have them in the first place. But it looks like that they're going to be a state that adds it based on what those numbers look like anyway. So that's very big, because that conversation has been going on for quite some time. All right, Cuba. The U.S. is going to process some visas in Cuba after a four-year hiatus. This is big. So the U.S. Embassy in Havana announced that they're going to, what's on tap for them, they're going to increase staffing and resume some of the visa processing years after the personnel was slashed at that facility, because they had that strange health thing that was happening that was affecting people. So there was a big announcement confirming that, yes, it's true. Some of the top U.S. diplomats in Havana made that announcement, saying that there's a limited resumption of immigrant visa services there, saying that Cuban immigrant visas would be processed primarily in Guyana, while Havana offices will focus on other services, but they still will have it, especially a limited emergency non-immigration process. And what does that matter if you're listening to this? There's people listening in Florida where they were concerned about this because of relatives, right? They want to reunite in the United States with relatives who are American citizens who became American citizens a long time ago. So it's interesting that staffing problem, that scaling back on that staff definitely affected that. Is there political fallout to this? You know, because you got to think about, well, what does that mean? Is there scaled back flights to the island? Are there increased hurdles for U.S. citizens trying to travel to Cuba for anything other than family visits? And the U.S. Embassy didn't have too much to say about that. But it looks like that policy is changing. I mean, I've read a bunch of stories. There's a 67-year-old retired doctor in Havana, Oleg Perez, who waited 4 years to reunite with her daughters in Florida. So she wants to be able to be one of those people that can get those visas. But I think there's still going to be plenty of restrictions in place. But perhaps for some, it won't be the obstacles that they've been facing. The obstacles will be somewhat removed, if you will. Some of the conversation over Russia is about these Russian oil imports to the United States, and there has been lots of conversation about that. What's on tap is a decision by President Joe. What is he going to decide to do? A bipartisan group of senators even introduced a bill on Thursday to ban U.S. imports of Russian oil, saying that the shipments could be replaced by boosting output in North America and other places. Of course, the bill has to pass the Senate and the House and then be signed by President Joe to become a law. But the White House is indicating that there is some reluctance to support that move because it could increase the price of gasoline when inflation is already high. The bill is called Banning Russian Energy Imports Act. That's what it is. And it's to go after Putin over the invasion of the Ukraine. 18 senators have supported it, and it does have bipartisan support to ban it. So the White House is kind of laying low on this. So what's on tap is, let's see if it passes both chambers, and then he would have to make a decision. And just so you know, for a point of reference, we imported, the U.S. being the we, more than 20.4 million barrels of crude and refined products a month on average. Think about that, in 2021 from Russia. So about 8%, give or take, of U.S. liquid fuel imports. And these numbers I got from the Energy Information Administration. That's pretty sizable, right? I mean, Russia is the second largest exporter of crude oil. They did ship about 4 to 5 million barrels of crude every day. So they only trail the Saudis, Saudi Arabia. But all those sanctions imposed by the West, exempting Russia's oil and gas, have disrupted the global oil trade. So that's why we're seeing that world crude oil has gone up, 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 up. And that's why when you pull up to the pumps, the price has gone up, 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 up. And there is the pain at the pump. And that is something that people are feeling. And that is something that's on tap that's going to get worse. And people are complaining about it. Nobody's happy. But should it be, let's ban everything from Russia and open up the floodgates in other directions? That's what I think. Open it up in other areas. Why be dependent on that in the first place? It was only a matter of time, speaking of Russia, before this happened, but RT, Russia's government-funded TV network, shut down their U.S. operations, because they have them. And so they just abruptly decided that's it. The company broke the news to its staff Thursday during an all-hands-on-deck meeting, and they're canceled. I mean, that's what it is. Cable, satellite, online distribution platforms, all gone. That's it. Off the table, right? And it actually, they had a good foothold there. They had a pretty big run there. RT was dropped in Europe and Canada earlier this week following the invasion. So now the U.S. is just the latest to do that. And, you know, back in 2017, they were required, RT was, to register as a foreign agent. But RT is not 100% Russian government-controlled channel. But And many Americans were working there, but it's out, it's off, it is over. Mailbag coming up next.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Taking the mailbag.
To everybody who's sent me their thoughts on all kinds of things that are happening in the world, thanks for that. 24/7, this is the address, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Obviously, so much of it centers around Russia and the Ukraine and what's happening there, like this one from Doug, who says, hey, Kate, I'm with you, girl. Let's just get rid of Putin. No good SOB, if you know what I'm saying. I don't understand why somebody else in Russia wouldn't take him out, because he's damaging the Russian people. I think it's smart to put the hammer down on Russian exports and anything to do with Russia, blocking out the airspace, because eventually he may be taken out or displaced by his own people. That's the best thing that could happen. All right, Dougie, I agree with you. I mean, you know, that's the idea. If absolute power can corrupt, imagine that. And if you are a Russian person, and you've got relatives in the Ukraine, because think about that. There's people that have risked it and protested in Russia because they weren't about this war. They didn't support it. And I think that Putin got more than he bargained for. I honestly think he thought it was going to be like this clean sweep. They go in, poof, that's it. They take out Zelensky and install a pro-Russian government, and whatever nonsense, false information story that he decided to go with to throw out there, and saying the Ukrainians provoked all this, which nobody was buying that. I guess he thought that that was just going to play and it wasn't going to be questioned, but people are smarter than that, and so look what's happened as a result. All right, I'll just do one more on this because, I mean, of course, it's flooded with this. This one is from Jake, and Jake says, "Hey, Kate, because of the world we live in, as you say so often, we see it right before our eyes. You can see live updates of what's happening when it comes to fire attacks, etc., because there's video of it all over the place, and then you see the destructions. I think one good thing is that, you know, there were a couple cities where there was an agreement to let the people evacuate from the area before anybody rolled up in tanks or started to shell buildings, etc. But that certainly was not what was going on across the board in the Ukraine. But, you know, at least that happened. And at least you've got normal radiation levels at the nuclear plant, because that was scary when there was the announcement that there was a fire at that plant. So that's the good news. But the rest of it is ugly, and I think the world is sick of it, and the world is doing whatever it can to fight back without actually physically sending troops into the Ukraine to help the people however they can. Yeah, Jake, absolutely right on. I agree with that. The nuclear power plant was scary. I opened up and talked about that. A fire, anytime you say nuclear power plant, fire, what happens in the one reactor, of course, that's how we're going to see it. But then you have experts who come in and say, okay, well, wait a second, let's back off. Yes, it was scary to hear that initially, but here's what has happened. And maybe what could have been the ultimate disaster for the Ukraine was narrowly avoided. How much it was avoided, how close, I don't know. I think they don't know either. Then there's this one from Marjorie, who says, "Hello, Kate Delaney. I like your show. I like when you go into the man cave. I think it's funny that you call it the man cave. I actually ordered your book, Invade the Man Cave, and I feel like I can keep up with my husband in the sports world so much more. I would like to get away from the business of politics and COVID and all that other nonsense and ask you about Major League Baseball. I know that you are a fan of sport and know your sports. What do you think is going to happen with the Major League Baseball season? We are big fans who have season tickets here in Arizona, and we're very disappointed by what we are seeing." Well, they finally have resumed talks Thursday. So that's good, because they're in, you know, an informal meeting, but an informal meeting from Major League Baseball and the Players Association to talk about resuming talks is good. But the signs all point to they got to, whatever it is, because whatever it is money. I mean, it comes down to money. This is the ninth time baseball has had any kind of a work stoppage, and it's not good that after 9 days of talks in Florida, everybody went home on Wednesday after the whole breakdown of the deadline for a deal to preserve opening day, because it's not preserved. There isn't opening day, which is such a tradition for so many people. And I think the answer is both sides realize that no deal is a bad deal all the way around, and it's not going to help them when they eventually go back to the great game, because people are not going to like it. Or I think a lot of people might not come back. You know, you're going to have some drop off. So large market teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, maybe fare that a little bit better. One of the big sticking points is, you know, the luxury tax. And that's one of the difficult things. So Major League Baseball proposed raising the tax threshold from $210 million to $220 million in each of the next three seasons, $224 million in 2025 and $230 million in 2026. And that's the inequity of the teams. And the payroll disparity is another thing with that whole tax threshold. So players are unhappy with the tax system and how it worked during the last labor contract, the surtaxes to discouraging the high spending, blah, blah, blah. So I think there's some big sticking points, but if they're smart, they got to realize that screwing up with opening day and not going back to baseball is so dangerous. So what my sources tell me is there will be a season, but we're losing the battle. And so the earliest the season could begin right now is April 7th. And that's what they got to do because they can't get it all in. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, great question. Thanks for that. And I feel you because I was going to do some spring training. I was going to go and visit family and do the spring training thing. All right, this one is from Mel. And Mel says, hey, Kate, I listen to the show whenever I can. Lately, I've been listening to it more because I've had the time to do that. You know, you look around and see what's happening in this country and the divisions, and I think some of it is going away, thank goodness, with Omicron more on the back burner right now, and people wanting to come together, frankly, and just live their lives. And let's hope that this approach keeps happening more and more, and that 2022 really becomes the big bounce back year, and we all move forward. Because it's been a tough couple of years. Lots of people I know lost businesses, struggled, had kids in school that had difficulties because of the on-again, off-again virtual learning. A lot of things didn't happen that normally happen in life, even though we're a resilient bunch and we found ways around it in some cases. It's time to get out there and live again. Yeah, you know, I see that. I mean, I see that people are doing that. I see this all over the place. I think, and that's why I talked about the CDC numbers and what's happening in community. So I believe that people believe that we are back. It feels that way to me. And maybe not everybody shares that opinion. And maybe there are some people who are still reluctant and aren't full force, I guess, out into the world. But, it does feel like that lifting that we really thought we were going to get in the beginning of the year, but thanks to Omicron, that kind of changed that. All right, one last one. This one is from Terry, and Terry says, hi, Kate. I listen to you every night on KVOI, and I just have to say, if you decide you want to visit Tucson, we're going to roll out our own red carpet for you, and we'll make sure it's vacuumed. That's a reference to sometimes what I say, that we have a virtual red carpet, and we constantly are having to have it vacuumed and steam cleaned and anything else you can imagine. I mean, it's virtual, right? So how much does it really cost? Theater of the mind, people. Theater of the mind. Thanks to Alex K. for his fine work on the technicals and all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.